Hello and welcome to the podcast for the October meeting's insurance contracts discussions. My name is Andrea Pride from one of the ISB staff and I have with me Daryl Scott. At the October meeting, we discussed transition, bringing to a close the discussions on non-participating contracts. We had concluded most of the decision-making on the non-participating contracts in the recent months, and we thought that it was an appropriate time to bring the transition discussion, bearing in mind that we will be reviewing all the non-participating contracts decisions as a whole as we get towards the end of the project again. In the exposure draft, the feedback on the transition proposals was broadly supportive of where the ISB had made its proposals in the 2013 exposure draft. This approach was largely a retrospective application, but we provided a simplified approach which prescribed particular simplifications to be used when retrospective application could not be achieved because it was impracticable. And in the discussions leading to the 2013 exposure draft, we had concluded that the retrospective application might well become impracticable relatively quickly because of the use of hindsight in estimating an insurance contract measurement and transition. So the feedback was largely supportive of this, as I said, and there were a number of concerns around things like the understatement of risk adjustment and also the possibility that in some situations an entity might not have enough information to apply even the simplified approach. So the staff paper for this meeting was contained analysis and a recommendation that was largely aimed at addressing these concerns. Another concern that was raised in the comment letters is whether the effects of applying the proposed standard retrospectively would provide good information. In particular, the comment letters discuss an example of when retrospective application or an approximation to retrospective application would result in a large negative accumulated OCI balance due to the effect of decreases in interest rates since the contract was written. The consequence of this, of course, is that as the contract carries on after the date of transition, this accumulated OCI balance would recycle into profit or loss, which could create losses or would at least depress profits in future periods. Darren, would you like to comment on that discussion?
Thanks, Andrea. The discussion at the board was fairly extensive on this topic. It is a topic that is of significant concern in a limited number of jurisdictions, but in those jurisdictions it is a big issue. And so the board discussed the details of whether or not we thought we should be trying to solve the issue, and if we should be trying to solve the issue, how we should actually go about solving it. It was something of a complicated discussion, and the board members actually did discuss some numbers around the board table. But I think for the most part we got to terms with the issue of looking at either the economic consideration, or as was expressed at the board table, whether this unwind effect of the OCI coming back through OCI was a fair interpretation of the results of those entities. And although the board had some sympathy with where the issue had come up in the particular jurisdictions, we felt that the treatment that we were providing for was the most economically appropriate treatment. It properly reflected the economics of the circumstance, and it properly reflected what our model intended it to reflect. The board also noted during the discussion that it is possible for the entities to avoid this effect by simply electing, as is possible throughout the model around OCI, simply electing to go fair value profit and loss, which would in fact solve. Because what it would result in doing is that historic loss, instead of going to accumulated OCI, would go to profit and loss. So on balance, after a lot of discussion, I think the board came to the conclusion that we believed it was economically best not to put a targeted specific solution in place for this issue.
Yes. We also sort of touched on, but not to a great extent in the board discussion, that there could be a different situation when we come to think about our transition for participating contracts. And that's because that in general, in the ED and all the discussions we've had since then, we've been talking about an OCI approach which would update the interest rate that's used for determining the interest expense and profit or loss. So I think we will be looking at the implications of that for participating contracts in the months to come. But for non-participating contracts, which has a locked-in discount rate for determining the split between profit and loss and OCI, I think the board came to a fairly decisive conclusion. So the board also made a number of small decisions around the risk adjustment, which was to, rather than to have a systematic understatement of the risk adjustment at the date of transition, that we would introduce a more accurate estimate of the risk adjustment at the expense, really, of greater subjectivity. And that's a trade-off we had discussed in the 2013 ED, and I think from the feedback we felt that it was more appropriate to have an attempt at a better assessment of the risk adjustment in the simplified approach as well.
I think the decision the board took to introduce the third level allows us to be slightly less simplified in the simplification and to have a better targeted outcome. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we were effectively doing with risk. The solution that we proposed in 2013 would be very simple to reach, which achieved the simplicity box, but we acknowledged at the time was going to be biased in making the CSM too high. And we felt that if we had a third option in the transition process, we could actually allow for that simplified process to be slightly less simple.
Yeah. There was also a little bit of discussion around whether it was desirable to have three different approaches for transition, depending on whether or not the simplified approach was impracticable. And some had suggested that the board should go for full retrospective application or the fair value approach if the retrospective application was not practicable. And I think this is really a balance of costs and benefits, because one of the disadvantages of the fair value approach is that it has a different objective from the retrospective application, but then it adds complexity to the model by having these three different approaches. And I think the idea that we had got confirmed in the comment letters that there would be a reasonably large number of population of contracts that could apply the simplified approach pushes the board to try and get a more comparable contractual service margin and transition adjustment. So that was the October meeting, and the board is planning to continue its discussions on insurance contracts in November and December and through into the beginning part of next year. Thanks for listening.